This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBrite.
Let me give you a number to start with. Tom, I know you like your numbers. Not that I'm trying to typecast you in any way.
No.
20,435. That's how many fans were at the Sunday game between Scotland and Slovenia, a supposed must-win World Cup qualifier. Mm-hmm. Then just hours before, there were 20,000 empty seats at Wembley for another World Cup qualifier between England and Lithuania. Does anyone care about international football anymore?
No, it's more silly. You can't be basing the Scotland attendance on whether people get about international football anymore or not. We want to talk about Scotland particularly. I mean, it's the support that's apathetic to the whole what's going on around the team at the moment rather than international football. Do you think the Tartan Army have suddenly just went, you know what, lads, pack the kilts, forget about the foreign beers and the foreign trips, I'm jacking it.
Okay, so you're saying it's down to the fact that the team isn't doing particularly well and there's not much hope of making it to the World Cup, really?
I think there is a general apathy, though, about international football. I think even like 20 years ago, it was the peak of football. It was the most exciting thing. But, you know, most people couldn't tell me five great international matches of the last 10 years.
Oh, that sounds like a challenge.
Well, like, you can name five Champions League matches this year that have been absolutely
true.
Amazing, that you've loved. But it's just not, like, the way the game's moved on so much, where it's so much about teamwork and what you do on the training pitch, the fact that you meet up five times a year for a couple of weeks, well, means that the quality's not there.
This article in the Times here puts it down to, it says, hope was measured by the size of the crowd. So it's saying that, you know, Scotland are not very good at the moment, so they're not going to attract a big crowd. And I get that. I get that's a factor. However, if you look at the first home qualifier against Lithuania, when everything was still up for grabs for Scotland, there's only 36,000 fans at that game. And England have won, well, I actually don't know how many they've won, but I'm willing to bet they've won most of their games of their qualification campaign, and yet they got less fans for their qualifier than Spurs got for a Europa League game against Ghent a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think it...
I think it's reflective of a general
I just
apathy
don't think
in crowd, international football.
You know, crowds are a judge of whether international football is relevant or not. I'm sorry, but you know, I find club football from time to time deadly, deadly dull. What international football does is manage to unite a nation. It's not about the standard of the football. No, indeed. It's not about the standard of football on show. It's about what it does, what it means. When you go to international tournaments, and hey, don't really have much experience of that, but when you see nations like Wales, Northern Ireland go to the Euros last year, and France, for example, it really galvanises a nation, gives us something to be excited about. And it's not about, you know, it's not about seeing silky free-flowing football. You tell me Portugal was silky free-flowing football and won Euros? No, but it meant so much to the Portuguese people. That's international football.
I think there's an element of almost like football tourism about it, though. Like, you know, nobody resents the fact that Iceland or Wales or Northern Ireland got to have, you know, a tournament that they'll always remember forever. But it's like passive fans that will have enjoyed that an awful lot more than like your diehard supporters that are going every single week. And if you look at the flags around an England game, it's like Lincoln City FC, yeah. England Supporters Club. They've got their day out at these, and you know, that's great. And it's pretty much the same with a lot of the Tartan Army. There's a huge Tartan Army contingent that travels down from like the northeast of Scotland who are maybe not Aberdeen supporters, but they support Montrose and Arbroath and teams like that. And it's their day out for these things, and that's great, brilliant. But just the standard of football isn't there. I'm not excited about it the way I used to be, and I just don't think it's not the pinnacle anymore.
Mm. I feel like international football was always, like, you can shoot me down here, but I always felt it was quite a British pursuit. Like the English teams and Scotland teams and Wales, to a certain extent, was, they had strong support, and that almost felt like a kind of British thing. Because if you look to countries like Spain, you know, the last few games I was looking at where they've played, I've got a list of them here. They've played at Gijón, Granada, León, which is a stadium of 13,000, Getafe, Alicante. These are all grounds with, you know, tiny, and these are qualifiers. I'm not talking about, those aren't just friendlies. So I feel like Britain is almost reverting to the European default, where the club game, and I mean, and it's the same to a certain extent in like France as well, or I don't know, Germany's maybe the exception. I don't know if Germany's a little bit different.
Look at Ted Lip. Look, that the path you're going down there is a completely different argument about whether the big nations find qualifiers sexy. And they don't, because they're processions for England, for Spain.
So get rid of the qualifiers.
Well, we want to have that argument. there is a school of thought, a train of thought, that perhaps if you are a top eight nation, for example, don't play the qualifiers, be automatically qualified for a tournament, let everyone else slug it out. Because I tell you, qualifiers matter to most other countries. Try to tell me if San Marino don't go and win a game, it doesn't matter to that nation. If Scotland managed to get through the qualifiers, it doesn't matter to us. I mean, it's just a complete nonsense argument. And I can understand why it's boring for the English, for the Spanish, for the Germans, for the French. But then you could flip that argument in its head and say, well, what are they going to do with their time?
I don't know. I just think that it's almost been... It's not just the qualifiers that have been devalued. It's the fact that it's supposedly so easy, and obviously Scotland haven't...
So easy for everyone else.
It's much, much more open. It's much easier, and they're talking about making it even easier still to get into major tournaments. So it used to be that once you got to the finals of a tournament, it was like the very elite teams in the world. Now you're probably not in the elite teams of the world till the last 16. So you've got 2 years of qualifiers and then 2 weeks of games. And you know, some of them are fun, but it's just, it's not what it once was.
I feel like I'm almost speaking as the archetypal modern football fan, right? Mm-hmm. The club game is everything to me. I don't really care if it's a big qualifier or if there's much riding on it at all. I'm not all that interested. I'll do it out of professional duty, but I'm not that interested in as a fan. So, you know, I just wonder what international football actually achieves. You know, what is the point of it? You know, what is the purpose of it, especially in modern multicultural society? I suppose the premise of it originally was this area of land produces better players than this other area of land. But at the moment, I mean, if you look at Scotland, you've got, you know, players who were born in England represent Scotland. I think they should be able to represent Scotland because nationality is a fluid thing. But what does that actually achieve? Grant, come on, give me an answer.
It's exactly what it's about. It's about players from your nation or who qualify for your nation by dint of the rules, being able to represent your country and go on and do something that makes the country proud. I'm sorry, but it's like modern football suddenly reverted to this type where club football was the be-all and end-all just because that's where the money is and because the big clubs can go and spunk cash everywhere and get any player in they want. That's boring. How is that competitive? What makes international football brilliant is you can have a generation of players and you can do nothing. You can't buy them. Unless you're some dodgy nation, someone that tries to hand out passports and gets caught. You can't buy these players. You have to breed them one way or another. And when you get that golden generation, Spain, for example, Scotland teams of yesteryear, that's what makes it glorious. And I think maybe we're just a little bit, feel a bit sullen by it because we're so rubbish at it.
We haven't really had a golden generation of any. Who's the golden generation at the moment? There hasn't really been.
Look at the German team that come through. It's been bred all the
Belgium
way through the youth system
at the moment, I suppose. Is
but again, massively, massively underachieving. Yeah. I just don't think that I buy that argument, and actually feel that yeah, you're representing a nation and that sort of thing. I do feel that that's a valid argument. You know, just in the same way that technically speaking, your club's still representing a little town, wherever that little town may be.
Oh, that's not good.
But the people from those places still matters. It still feels local to those
places.
You
see how many foreign faces are in a Barcelona crowd, a Liverpool
sure,
crowd, a Chelsea
still,
as I say, not for lower
still
league
representative
clubs.
Those of that city. Yeah. Barcelona FC is still Barcelona. Or Madrid, Real Madrid is still a Madrid club. Chelsea is still a London club. And so I do think that, yeah, it represents the country. But I just think it's been such a long time since there was an international team who were really, really good and you could kind of love as well.
Mm. And well, Spain
yeah,
a few
I mean,
years
did,
ago.
Yeah, did Spain not happen?
But then I would argue
I didn't,
that
I didn't
Spain
love them.
Was
did France 98 not happen?
France 98 was 20 years ago.
I know, that's the last time we bloody qualified.
I would argue, that Spain team was a byproduct of the club game, though. I mean, that was basically the Barcelona success and the Spain success was so...
Because they bred it. They didn't buy it.
It's Barcelona bred it. Spain did not breed it.
Yeah, but same. That's what made it excellent. That's what made it exciting.
I just thought, I also
I
think
I'm exciting. So I'm my pass. I hated that's when
I just think another issue with the international game is how the games are so spread out. So it's very difficult to kind of create narratives between the games. And then from next year we're going to have the Nations League or whatever it's called. I mean, it's just an absolute nonsense. You're going to have more of these games that you're going to tell me that these games will matter. They will not matter. They'll be glorified friendlies.
Tell me what the root problem is why you hate international football.
Because I don't think it achieves anything. I don't think there are any interesting storylines. And I don't really know what the modern day purpose of it. I feel like years and years ago it probably did have a purpose and a premise. Now I feel like it's an irrelevancy.
Well, you know what's not going to solve that, but it's going to go a long way to ticking some of those boxes, is the Nations League. I know it sounds like some pie in the sky concept, but it's UEFA who are behind it, who, by the way, are the architects of the greatest club competition in the world.
Mm.
It will go a long way to developing competitiveness with a league system in it. It will get rid of meaningless friendlies. It will give teams a sense of purpose of trying to achieve something, even if they can't get to World Cups or European Championships. I mean, I just don't know how much it's going to fly. But it's a competition that goes some way to try to redress the balance of, well, what are we doing kicking about in international football for 2 years until we get to a major tournament? It will go a way to redressing that balance.
But it's making it more like, is the Nations League not making it more like the club game? I mean,
yeah. I think that's okay though. I mean, I've been very dismissive of international football for the last decade or so. But, you know, try something. Because I'm honestly finding it deathly boring. So try something. And I mean, I'm not a rugby fan at all, but twice a year they manage to make a handful of games in one go very exciting for anyone who's a casual supporter.
They're quite close together.
Yeah, they so get the games close together and make, you know, do something with it, because like international friendlies, like the, you know, with all due respect to Hibs, Easter Road is where Scottish games go to die.
It used to be where Scottish Cup hopes went to die as well.
Like, no, it's a great stadium, but you know, if a friendly is going to be moved to Easter Road against a team ranked in the hundreds, we're hardly going to see. That's where the rebirth point of Scottish football.
Yeah.
I just think that trying something different, like, try it, see what happens. It can't get any worse.
So we're in agreement that something needs to change or evolve, or
not to your casual punter, not to the tens of thousands of, if we want to say, Scotland fans who travel everywhere, all the England fans who travel everywhere. And I get it, it's a bit of a British thing when it comes to qualifiers, although, you know, actually we see some decent away crowds at Hampden as well. I think the diehard international fans, of which there are plenty, by the way, don't necessarily need change. Quite happy with the format, quite happy with the away trips, quite happy with qualifying for tournaments, whatever that's like. A little bit of change to make it more appealing to the casual follower of football, like you. Well, you know, the kind of the ones that didn't have this great desire to be perpetually entertained by what they're watching might find it a bit more interesting, but not your dyed-in-the-wool international fan.
Mm. I just think, I also think the tournaments, which I love the World Cup, I can't deny I love the World Cup. I even quite like the Euros, but the last Euros were abysmal. And I like the idea, as Tom mentioned, of open it out and make it more inclusive, and I like that in theory, but then last year we had the practice of that and it was dreadfully dull. The whole thing was dreadfully dull. I mean, what was a one standout match? Probably the Iceland-England game, and even that wasn't a specifically fantastic match. It was just because it was the biggest upset of the tournament.
It's fun when they come along. I always think there is a sort of, football's on every day and that's great, but when you look back in retrospect, I think it's, if you can't pick out a handful of really great games, then it probably was a little disappointing. I do think they need to do something radical to get people's interest back in. I mean, Scotland will play, have, you know, you play Lithuania every single time, it seems like. You play the same, looks like you've, for, considering how many teams there should be, we seem to get drawn against the same teams an awful lot, and it just seems tedious.
Well,
what about in the World Cup? Let's just make it international. Have an international game. Let's play the USA in the qualifier and you just pick the top.
Sorry, I'm looking for the ejector button here.
Well, look, it's a bit different.
I would actually go the other way. What about regionalisation? So, you know, the Scotland-England games, and well, the one at Wembley, there was a real buzz about that one. What about, you know, you have Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, England, always in the same group, you know, almost like the home nations games that we used to have.
Maybe. No. I mean, personally, I think you're just going to be playing the same teams over and over again, and we know those players. What I want to see is the best countries, no matter where they're from, at the World Cup. And maybe it's that 25 of them are from Europe. Maybe it's not. Maybe the African teams are much better because they've been playing. Just something.
I thought you were biting your fist there.
Something to. Like, we're playing the same countries over and over again. The same teams are qualifying pretty much every single time. Try something different.
I don't disagree with try something different. I mean, I always subscribe to try and make international football somehow more appealing and more enticing. But again, what this comes down to is who are we trying to attract to international football? And what you guys are selling me on here is trying to sell this to the club football fanatics that just need to be, like I say, perpetually entertained. You talk about those Euros. If you're sitting at home watching them on the telly, yeah, you're probably not going to find that very exciting. I went over for a weekend to France. Scotland didn't qualify, and if Scotland had qualified, we would have all been there and we would have had a hell of a great time over in France. That's point one of what makes European Championships or World Cup exciting for fans, if your country gets there. And it's also the experience. I went over there, it was bloody good. It was a party, it was a carnival. And it's not all about the football. The football's almost a byproduct of it. It's about supporting your country and about different nations, different cultures coming together.
But you've just identified another issue of major tournaments going on from now, is they're so big now that, I mean, the next Euros is going to be spread over the whole continent. Now the World Cup is a 48-team competition. What single country is going to host that? They're talking about a North American hosted World Cup. You know, three countries, Mexico, America and Canada hosting the World Cup. I mean, it's going to be difficult to harness that carnival atmosphere you talk about when the tournaments are so big.
The only reason this happens is because you have guys running for FIFA and UEFA who are buying votes by, you know, appealing, not buying votes, but getting votes by appealing to countries saying, give me your vote and I'll go for a 48-team World Cup so your nation's got a better chance of getting there. I mean, that has to contract at some point again in the future because it's completely unsustainable.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.